Raleigh Town Board Regular Meeting for April 9, 2012 will come to order. Please turn off my cell's electronic devices. Mr. Neese, will you lead us in a pledge, please?
And pledge flag, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Lynn.
Here.
Councilmember Bushwick.
Here.
Councilmember Abraham.
Here.
Councilmember Archer.
Here.
Councilmember Neese.
Here.
Attorney Costa.
Here.
Mayor Moore.
Here. The minutes for the March 12th meeting are in your package. Do I hear any corrections or motion to accept?
I move.
Move Mr. Neese, second Mr. Lynn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Okay, committee reports. I was not here last week, so some of the things that I'm gonna have are maybe stuff that I would cover in the committee. But Orleans West, as you know, the preliminary plat's been approved, and where we at now is in the construction drawings phase. And I was told before I left to go to China that it would be delivered soon, that day or the next day or something. It still haven't been delivered, so there's nothing to really talk about. I know they're working on it. I know they have their drainage plan done, but they just haven't given it to us yet, and they're dealing with Roy and them. So when they do, we'll go through all that, Wayne and me and some other people. So there's nothing really to report there. So other than that, we know there's activity. Wayne brought me out there today. They're doing a lot of clearing back there.
Yeah.
Cleaning it up. Yeah, they really got a lot of going back there. So they're serious. We'll just see what happens. Public Works, I don't have anything else. Planning and zoning, we have a hearing the next meeting on Aaron Daniels' property, rezoning his property. Finance, we're doing budget stuff. Personnel, not aware of anything. Recreation. Police, I'm not aware of anything. Government, nothing. Vetoed ordinances, there are none. Hearing and final action, there are none. Introduction of ordinances, there are none. Resolution accommodations, there are none. Department reports, fire department, chief. You didn't have a chance to fall asleep this time.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, you could almost use the echo from the fire district meeting to give this report.
Really?
Not long ago.
Calls for the month of March inside the town. First head wide, we had 9. Outside of town, we had 11. One public assist. We had fires inside of town, we had none. Outside, we had 1. Was a false alarm on Choctaw. Motor vehicle fire, we had 2. One trash fire. Motor vehicle crashes, we had 1. Mutual aid call to Addis, a structure fire, we had 1. For the month, we had 27, and for the year, we had 83.
Any questions or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you, chief. Police department, Ned, I guess you're covering that?
We had 9 crashes. We executed 7 bench warrants. We had 1 damage to property, 3 alarms. They were in the rural area. We had 4 assist other agencies. We had 3 juvenile minors, 8 traffic arrests, 10 miscellaneous calls. We had a total calls of 45. Total citations was 258. Total violations was 317. We had 1 civil matter, 1 custody matter, and improper text and communication. And it looks like we got some figures on our budget. We probably will make our budget this year.
What caused the citations and violations to double?
Telling the guys they better make their budget, they're going to get raised.
But you can't do that. The state law says you can't do that.
Motivation.
That's what we were told.
I'm one of the guys that don't know that.
I can see it. We see them a little bit more now.
The checkpoint helped.
Multiple violations, people not getting insurance, things of that nature.
No, multiple violations is like you write 1 ticket and you have 2 on one. That's what's
speeding, no insurance.
Yeah, no insurance. Yeah, that's multiple.
Can you give us any information at all
going on up here at the Himmelman Drive. I know that's out of your territory.
Yeah, they had, well, no, that's my, that's where I live.
Yeah, I know.
They had 14 burglaries, just like we had in Ridley, where they'd open the car door, and if they could get in, they'd steal. If they couldn't get in, they didn't break in. West Baton Rouge is working, and me and Josh, one of the guys from here, went over and helped them that morning. They hit two houses before mine. They didn't hit mine. They didn't hit the next one. They hit one over there. And the lady over there had a camera system. They got a picture of either a black young black male or Hispanic or a dark complexion white guy.
It's just one guy, but he got...
No. It was more than that because they hit these 14 houses like, you know, quick.
But did he actually steal one vehicle?
Yeah, but the guy left his keys in the car.
Oh.
Down WJ can you...
That's what they said. Stolen.
No, he had one stolen car. He left his keys in the car.
I knew what was actually...
But they haven't caught him yet. They don't know who they are.
No, they don't know who...
And the guys that were doing it back in, back early...
That was one guy.
He's in jail, or y'all know where he is?
Well, I don't think he's in jail, but he was in jail. He made bond. Oh, he's coming to court, district court. When, I don't know. I was just the one man operating. This is quite a few.
Any other questions? All right, correspondence, I just have one piece. I teach every year the chemistry classes about nuclear power, and Paige, they sent me a thank you note. Mayor's report, Ms. Bougeron, would you like to talk about the Ridley High School 100-year ceremony?
Yeah, we had a very successful program on March 25th at the middle school gym to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Ridley High School, and that's where the campus was. And we had a lot of cooperation from many, many people. I want to thank Mike and Kenny for getting the honor guard, because that makes an impressive ceremony for the beginning. And thank Sergeant Ned for his traffic expertise outside the gym. And all the people that were on the program, people were glad to participate. And I think we had at least 200 people, between 200 and 250. Chief Whaley cooked jambalaya, and that was served at the high school, and he said the best he could figure, it was between 200 and 250 people. It was a very good day, so thanks to everybody for all your help. We appreciate it.
I know Ms. Bourgeois put a lot of time and effort into it.
And I did graduate from Brooklyn.
Kicked you out of here. APS, I don't know if y'all talked about it at the last meeting, but it's finally done. That's the electronic ticket books, and it's in operation now and pumping out tickets, and apparently it's working good. I haven't heard anything major. A long time ago, on the 19th of March, we had a CRPC meeting here in Brule, and thanks to the staff, Debbie and all her people, and a lot of people at this table, for making a success. They love to come to Brule because Rod cooks that shrimp etouffee, and they pounded it down as usual. River Mill Reserve is a done deal. They've furnished all the paperwork we need, is recorded, and also whenever they're ready to build, they can go ahead. All they got to do is come forward with some building permit. Richard Street, the culverts are half of the street is in, the other half is not done yet, but we'll get to that. We're mowing the grass again at 153 East Main, as usual. Curtis and our staff helped the fire department straighten the flagpole out there. Now, under remarks of personal privilege, I'm going to, after this is over, I'm going to go. I have some pictures, some slides of things I took in China that have a little bit to do with town government, but I'm going to wait till after. If that's all over with, anybody wants to stay, they can, but it, you know, all the other business matters will be done. Anybody else remarks of personal privilege? Yeah, Wayne? Go ahead.
I reminded Debbie too late that the Landmark and Heritage Committee meeting is next Monday, April 16th at 6:30 p.m. here. So got that in too late.
Good.
April 21st, we're going to have an important election. It's going to be for the Council on Aging and the Parish Museum Village Tax that's going to be coming. It's a renewal. And we just wanted to bring it before the Council and try to let everybody know to go out and vote and support, first of all, with us, the museum. The museum has been around since 1968. Like I was saying, in a sense, this is part of the history of West Baton Rouge itself now. The way it came about in, 50 years almost. So it's just become a part of our history, and I don't think that's something we want to let go lightly. And this tax is very important to keep it running. Big events like the Sugar Fest, you know, I don't know if any of you have been to the Sugar Fest. If not, you're missing out on a very good festival. It's one of the best in the state. It's no alcohol. It's very family-oriented. Great, great time. It's very, very well attended. People from all over the state come to it, along with the locals. Also, the museum, just the grounds of the museum is so nice now. Julie's done a great job bringing the buildings in that she has. If you haven't been there lately, you need to go. If you don't know the importance of the museum and what it brings to the parish, you just haven't been there lately. It's really a great place. One other thing I mentioned in when I was in Addis is when my niece, she took up photography when she was in high school, carried over to college. And she took up photography, taking pictures of things. She took a lot of pictures of St. Clair. This is before I was on the board. And she was, all of her photography was put at the museum, displayed, and it kind of helped her to get confidence in her photography to move on. Now she's in Chicago doing the same thing. So, you know, it's important to the young people of the community, you know. And the programs that Julie has brought to the parish for the young people that are in schools. I mean, we go on and on. It's really it's the quality of life scenario with the Council on Aging and the museum, what it brings to the parish. And you don't know what you have until you lose it. And if you're not there, you're missing out. And there's a lot going on over there. I'm going to let Julie say a few words also.
I want to thank Wayne also. He serves on the board of the West Baton Rouge Museum. He's our treasurer right now. Tom Acosta has served for many years as well in that position, so we have some really good company. The West Baton Rouge Museum, as Wayne has said, is 44 years old. And in 2011, our attendance was 20,194 people. 9,000 of those people were children and students. Of that 9,000, 4,500 were West Baton Rouge kids. So we're really serving an important educational purpose. In addition, we're the number one attraction for tourism. So we've counted up every day. Our front desk people take really careful records of who walks through the door. And we've counted, last year we had people from 37 different states from around the country and from 11 different countries from around the world. So people really are interested in our southern sugarcane agricultural heritage. And so it's really an important part of American history, which is fantastic. Again, just to remind you, it's April 21st is the tax renewal. It's 2 mils, and it will be the third time. The first time was in 1993, then it was 2003. And each time, the museum has grown. In 2009, the museum was accredited by the American Association of Museums. There are only 14 museums in the whole state that have that designation, which is really pretty exciting. It's something that our parish can be really proud of. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make one more comment. This tax election, that there'll be the only thing on the ballot, actually. So it's important that people get the word out to go and vote. Port Allen will be voting for their police chief. So, and then I'm not trying to put competition out there, but we don't want Port Allen, because it's an important election for them to determine if these taxes are passed or not. I think the whole parish should determine if the taxes are passed. So we really need to get out, get the word out. Everybody go vote, because Port Allen, we have a lot of people there. Hopefully they vote for the museum and the Council on Aging, but let's let the whole parish decide, not just Port Allen. Okay, thank you.
Move.
You Yes.
I have one more thing on the personal remarks.
Go ahead. But I want, go ahead.
I'm going through the minutes of the town, going back to 1901, trying to get documentation about where the first town hall was located. Well, they don't tell you where they were until you get to 1914 and they buy the property that was the convent. But anyway, one interesting thing, on January 11th, 1909, the mayor and the aldermen called the first public meeting to discuss drainage in the town.
Really? I imagine that.
Wow.
They had drainage engineers back then, too?
No, they got people dig ditches.
Yeah.
A lot of ditches.
Well, what I'd like to say is that, you know, the museum and the Council on Aging, they do a fantastic job. West Baton Rouge has always been good at supporting things where the money is dedicated to a specific purpose, and that purpose is a good purpose. And I think for the 2 meals and 2.5 meals, for what these people do, it's an absolute steal. I'm not gonna go on and on about the museum and all that, but if you know anybody who dealt with the Council on Aging, or you know anybody who's dealt with the museum, our money is well spent. And I'll tell you what, I think some people are supposed to just give the facts and some people are supposed to be for it. Well, I'm for it. And I think we're crazy if we let an opportunity like this pass. So that's my personal feeling. So I appreciate y'all coming out, but this to me, this is a no-brainer. All right, anybody else? Remarks of personal privilege?
If I'm not mistaken, this is a renewal.
It's a renewal.
It's not asking for more, it's just renewal. No, I think that's one thing that we really need to let people know. Right. That it's not, they're not asking for more money, it's just renewing.
All right, anybody else? All right, for those of you who are not interested, I'm just gonna go over these slides. I don't know if I have anything else on the agenda. Go ahead. I recently came back from China, anywhere I travel, I always find things that have to do with government or the way we live, and that might be a little different, so I've got a few up here. First of all, as primitive as China is, I was very surprised that everywhere I went, they had recycling. I mean, it was like, you never saw a trash can unless it had two others with it like that. So, and I was very surprised, very, very surprised that almost everything over there is labeled in English and Chinese. I would have thought they would never put English, but all the businesses and all, not everything, but a whole lot of things. See, they have other waste, bottles and cans and paper. It's surprising. Next slide. Ms. Bourgeois, that is a tree, and it's 600 years old. It's dead now, but they found that tree at 600. I was over 475, so about 500. Next slide. All over China, they have these, that's a pipe holding up a branch with a saddle. I was very surprised, all the old trees we have around here, you almost never see that. But all over China, they have, trees with long branches, they prop them up, which makes perfect common sense to me, but I guess culturally they don't consider that ugly, but they're all over the place. Next. This is a junction box, which is and you'll see other instances where their codes are not exactly what our codes are, if you know what I mean. So we went to a house to eat a meal, and this is that junction box and whatever. I don't know what it was, but it gets better later on. Next. This to me is one of the most surprising things in China is how heavy the smog is. It's smog. That's not fog. That's smog. And in all the cities, it's very, very thick. You can't. Those cooling towers aren't that far off the road. But that's just smog. That's not from the cooling towers. That's from just plain old smog. And they have 17 million in Beijing, 23 million in Shanghai, and every city we went to is smog.
What kind of?
I think those were coal. You can't really get a straight answer because those people that are showing us around didn't really know much about power, except that they had a lot. They had power, but they wouldn't. But it seemed, you see those stacks, that indicates to me it's coal. Next. All over the cities, they have people with these crude brooms sweeping the sidewalks. I quizzed them and they said those people are people who will come in from the farms, that culturally you can't live in a city with 17 million people or 23 million and take the chance of anybody seeing you sweeping, you'd rather starve to death. So they, people come in from the farms and they sweep the streets, but they keep the streets clean by this crude brooms, you know. Either that or this straw, and it's like the top of a piece of wheat or something like that. Really, really crude. That, those people right there, I asked them, those people make the equivalent of $250 American a month. And over there, unemployment is $80 a month at max. So you really, they don't have high wages at all. Next. This is an example. This is a power pole where the wires collected in, and you see the trees, you see on the left, those branches where the wires kind of have to take a break. They use the trees for poles to hold the wires up. They have no qualms about that. Not a clue. They, no big deal with them.
That's what
they must have never met a tree.
Yeah, next. That's another example of a power pole. Yeah, that must be Cox Cable. Cox Cable must be in town.
Oxygen network.
Yeah, that's another, but their code is a little different from ours.
Like ours.
Whatever. Next. Now this is a picture of my foot, but the most important thing is those ribs in the sidewalk. Debbie, I just noticed, can you back up to where that lady was sweeping? It's 2 or 3 back. You see those ribs in the sidewalk right there? You know what those things are for? Yes. You never guess. It's for the blind. That's so the blind people can walk down the sidewalk. Now, in China, as crude as they are, as much as they don't care about population, all they take care of the blind. Now, I did notice when it rained that people would walk down that thing. I guess it keeps water off your feet a little bit better. But I took a picture of it just so I could bring it up next. This is a bamboo ladder. They have them all over the place.
That's the work on the wires.
That's the work on the wires. They have, they, instead of OSHA over there, they have OSHA. Oh, shucks, he fell. Get another guy. I mean, they have all over the place. Next. Now, this is a FEMA. This is a FEMA blue tarp they have in. I think this is in Hangzhou. It's in Hangzhou. Yeah, the FEMA blue tarp. I had to take a picture of that. My wife saw me taking it. She said, what you doing? I said, I'm taking a picture of the blue tarp. She said, I thought that's what you were doing. That is blue. It's purple up there. Next. This is an extension of New Roads Medical Center. this is the Shanghai branch. Yeah, next. This is another bamboo thing, but they were trimming some trees, you know. Next. This is you notice all the safety belts these guys have on?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, they're real safe. They're hanging over the water. Yeah, they got. You know, joke about that. But I asked our tour director. I said, you know, it appears to me after we've been there a few days, it appears to me that everybody works scared. Everybody looks like they're scared while they're working. So they are scared because they have such an overpopulation problem. Anybody loses their job, or anything happens to them, they got 100 people waiting for them outside the door. Next. Now this is. There's an ongoing discussion at Main Street and at St. Francis whether we should or shouldn't have a turning light, okay? Now, this is a shot from the bus. The bus right now has a green light, okay? Now, you see, we're supposed to be going where that black car is going, but the people in line that are fixing to turn left, there's no green arrow. They don't have turning arrows. When the green light turns green, you can turn left, right, or go straight. It doesn't really matter. And they, all of them, you see that bus driver right there is accelerating. And he's going to get right up to the fender of that yellow car, maybe the car behind it right there. And then one of those cars is just going to stop and he'll ease on through. I mean, they work it out. They're always in close quarters, but they never run into each other. Well, I'll have another slide later on to show you the same thing happens with pedestrians. But it's the most, and it works for them. I saw one car wreck the whole time I was there. I mean, everybody just kind of like blends in, and there's no right away. A left turn signal don't mean nothing over there. You turn at your own risk. But they have this method where, you know, they toot the horn a certain way that one or two toots means that, you know, here I'm on this side and on that right side or left side, or, and then if they sit on the horn, it means you're not going fast enough. I mean, they have their own little communication. But I'm gonna tell you, you talk about some noise. Everybody blows a horn. Okay? Everybody blows a horn. Scooters, everybody. Next. Now, this is the motor transportation that I don't know why we don't have more of it. That's a battery-operated scooter, and they are everywhere. Everywhere. Battery, don't make any noise, and it's battery-operated. I'm sure when they get home at night, they plug it in and charge it up. But I mean, these people, and there's a good thing about China, if you ride a scooter in China, you don't have to follow the red light laws. Because these guys on scooters, they totally ignore red lights, green lights. They scoot in and out wherever they want. So it must be that they exempt, because I'm going to tell you, these guys don't care. And what I'm talking about, there might be two buses that are the width of a handlebar plus 1 inch on each side. They go right between them. And those bus drivers, they'll maintain that distance. I mean, they have total confidence in each other, what the other one's going to do. But that's and that thing is very quiet. It would never make it on my street, because you have to have a very loud motorcycle or four-wheel on my street in order to drive on my street. But in China, it works for them. Now, this is a green light. You see those numbers on there? It's like a 24-second clock in basketball. Every time there's a green light, it counts down to the number of seconds you have left on a green. And when you have a red light, it counts down to the number of seconds you have on the red. So the driver knows when they approach the signal how long they have. And it really works good. It really works good, especially with red lights. Because when you have a red light, when it gets down to less than 5 seconds, if the driver looks both directions and there's nobody coming at a higher rate of speed, they just go.
I'd like to see that.
At the same time. And I'm going to tell you, when that red light gets to zero, when that thing gets to 1 second and then zero, if you're not on the accelerator, there is going to be some horn blowing going on. They got some serious horn blowing going on. Next. This is a police car. You really can't tell too good. Right here, you see that white thing? That's a camera that they can rotate 360 degrees. That's got to be better than what we have in our police cars. But I thought that was very interesting. And when they working on something, they can do that. Next. That's another one of those, a better look at one of the stoplights. You notice that you don't see a caution on there, do you?
Nope.
You don't need one. Go ahead. Now, this is interesting. Kenny, you'd love this, you and Mike. This is a fire escape. We were eating on the fourth floor, so the elevator was there's a lot of people in the elevator, so I said, let's just walk up the stairs. On the second and third floor, they have the doors from the second and third floor bolted with a chain and padlock. Now, how you gonna get out of there, I don't know, there's a fire, but the fourth floor was open, the first floor was open, the other two were just bolted closed. So, and then you can tell by the decor around the door, it's not what you call high tech. Well, the elevator, if you saw it on those two floors, you'd never get in it. I mean, it was like, it looked good on the first and fourth floor, but not on the other two. So that's, I mean, there is here. Next. Well, that was something missing. That's a more.
Huh?
Yeah, it's one on the street. I didn't give you that one. Anyway, the one I was talking about is there's a picture from the bus where there's about 8 or 10 people standing in the middle of the street. But what happens in China, this is a bus and this is a human, okay? And the human wants to get to the other side of the street. The bus can be coming along 20, 25 miles an hour, and the human takes off. And they do this. I'm telling you, and the human is not worried, and the bus driver is not worried. The human's not worried that the bus driver's going to speed up and hit him, and both of them have confidence that it's going to work. And I'm telling you, sometimes a guy will pass, and he'll duck his head to just so the mirror don't hit him. They walk, and they're ready to walk. When they're ready to walk, they just walk out in the street. There might be a car from here to that lobby away from them. Coming, they just walk out. And they have confidence that those people are going to slow down, and they walk across, and the car goes through. I mean, they have, it's the most un-American way of doing things. There's nobody mad at nobody. There's no road rage over it. Nobody shoots the bird at anybody. They might toot-toot, like, here I come. You know, if a guy's pulling out, and the bus driver can't see it, might toot toot just to let them know, hey, I'm here, don't come over too much more. It's the most amazing thing you ever saw. But I mean, it, I'm a, After a while, I thought to myself, that's the way to do it. You get all these red lights and all that stuff, and everybody just dog eat dog. No, serious. I mean, you know, you got red lights. We're so regimented in the United States. You cross a red light and somebody gonna kill you. Because the driver that's got the green light is totally oblivious to anybody ever cutting out in front of them. I'm serious. Oh, I didn't get attitude if you do.
I'm gonna run over you.
All right. Oh, and I got a couple more things. Wait a minute. This is I wrote Chinese. This says, this is forever. And this is China in Chinese. I had a calligraphy class. And oh, this is a good one here. I was under the impression when I went there that Chinese were, you know, there's no such thing as bad news, and everything was, you know, you got to be really careful. But look at this article here. The front page of this article says, age-old financial question poses a pension dilemma. In China, they have a dilemma in that all their retirement programs and all their government programs for, you know, entitlements, they're all going broke. Guess why they're going broke? They have fewer people working and more people retiring. Does that sound like Greece or United States or what? Look at this. 177 million people, the number of people aged 60 or older, accounting for 13.26% of the population, according to the census. 1,500 UN. A UN is there's 6 UN in a dollar, so that would be 200 something dollars. The national monthly pension for retirees in 2011, 200 something dollars. 100 billion UN. The amount of something. Pension funds entrusted to the National Council of Social Security Funds for 2 years. 1.92 trillion, the country's total pension fund for 2011. Trillion. 1.92. 20% of the portion of employees' wage paid on a joint fund. In other words, 20% comes out your salary for retirement. 8%, the portion of the monthly wage the employees pay into that individual account. So the IRA and stuff, they get to pay 8% into it. And they had this big long article, and they argued over whether they should put money in stocks or not put money in stocks right now because they tied down to certificates like what we would call a CD. But it's amazing. And in the newspaper over there, you open the paper, and two guys were picked up for embezzling money. And it sounds so much like the United States at times. It's scary. I didn't think they had that kind of stuff over there, but it's all a little interesting. All right. Announcements. Relay for Life is on April 21st from 3 p.m. to 5 a.m. Very emotional adjourn.
Move.
Move. Second, Mr. Dolan. All those favors say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
Aye. Very good, Jeff.